Hello and welcome to the sixth season of Bus to Talk, the exclusive Bus to Bus podcast format. All episodes of this season were recorded in our podcast studio at InnoTrans 2024 in Berlin. We are joined by well-known experts from the bus industry, political representatives and startups. I'm Kerstin Kube-Erkens from Messe Berlin and will be once again on the outlook for news and insights from the bus and mobility scene for you. To support me this season, I have Don Dahlmann at my side. Don Dahlmann is a successful journalist, author and consultant in the field of future mobility, autonomous driving, smart cities, IoT and AI. He also set up a new vertical for the online magazine Gründerszene in the field of automotive and mobility. He is a popular speaker, moderator, and has already made appearances at Republika, Automechanica and Bus to Bus. He has given keynotes for clients such as Daimler, Audi and the Fraunhofer Institute. Don has been an important source of inspiration for Bus to Bus from the very beginning. Don, it's really great to have you with us for this season.
Wow, that was a lot. Thank you very much, Kerstin, for this very warm welcome. I am also delighted to producing this very special season of Bus to Talk together with you and to be diving into the world of mobility. We have a lot planned for this season, and I'm looking forward to inspiring our listeners with exciting insights and, of course, inspiring stories.
And we will do so, Don, be sure. So, dear listeners, fasten your seatbelts and get ready for an exciting journey with Bus to Talk.
In today's edition of our Bus to Talk podcast, we welcome Maximilian Haag, Head of Sales, E-Mobility at Calm Media Lab, which is part of the Init Group. But before we get into discussion, let me briefly introduce our guest. Mr. Haag, during your studies in Aschaffenburg and at the University of Weihenstephan-Triesdorf, you already focused on renewable energies and business management and have been working at Calm Media Lab for 6 years, which is now part of the Init Group located in Bruchsal. So, welcome to Berlin. Nice to have you here in our studio at the InnoTrans. And my question is this your first InnoTrans?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, thank you. Thank you for having me here. It's a really a pleasure and honor to be here having this podcast together with you guys. So thank you for the invitation. And no, actually, it's my third InnoTrans, I would say, as I said in our off-chat talk. I mean, last time I was here was on crutches, so it was a little difficult the last time, but this year it's really like an awesome event, and the size of it, it's just impressive. And so far, I mean, we had really good conversations about e-mobility, which I'm very happy about.
You are an expert in e-mobility, so how is the change going on in the bus fleet management industry? Like, do they actually are looking forward into e-mobility?
Yeah, definitely. Massively. I mean, first of all, it's also driven by politics. I mean, we have the Paris Agreement, which resulted in a Clean Vehicle Directive, which we have here in Europe, which kind of gives a little guidance towards purchasing clean vehicles, not just battery electric, but also hydrogen or natural gas, for example. But what I see is that everyone in the beginning is like, okay, it's a new technology and everything changes around my depot. But on the long run, I really believe that it's a great technology. It will be cost efficient on the long run. So I see definitely increasing numbers, and I'm traveling in a lot of parts of the world. So North America a lot, here in Europe, Asia, in Australia as well, and everywhere electric buses are introduced, sometimes smaller, sometimes slower, but they're definitely coming all over the world.
They are, of course, the future. I think we both believe in that, but there are also some challenges at the moment that lie ahead of us when we change to e-mobility in buses. What are the main challenges that your customers are telling you?
Yeah, I mean, to start with, it's like you're replacing the heart and soul of long-term proven technology, the engine of this vehicle, right? I mean, diesel vehicles, don't matter if it's cars, buses, or trucks, they're around for almost ever, as long as I can think, of course. And now you're changing the main part of it, basically, and this is also changing the internal processes. I mean, now you have to handle in the maintenance department with a high voltage system, for example. So you need different trained personnel in your depot for maintaining the buses, for supporting them. Your route architecture is changing because now you have vehicles with a limited range. So maybe some of the routes cannot be covered by electric vehicles. I mean, the ranges are increasing, but still there are routes which cannot be covered. And also there are a lot of challenges. So it's operational change, but also like a change in, as I said, in the heart and soul, in maintenance, in training people, in the driving style, of course. So buses, electric buses behave differently. I drive EV, so I like the acceleration. But with electric buses, I mean, the acceleration is still impressive. I drove one electric bus at some last year or something, and it's still impressive for a bus. So also the drivers need to be trained to don't overconsume energy. So that's an important point. So, I mean, to sum it up, it's changes in every department of an operator authority. Yeah.
So what does a company that wants to use more e-buses in their fleet, what do they have to do before they start?
I mean, having a solid plan laid out at the really early stages. I mean, there are so many things to consider, charging infrastructure, increasing the electrical infrastructure around it, because it's at one point you need a lot of more energy than you needed before. So that's definitely key items to consider. But also, as I said, getting your route architecture on the table, just checking, okay, what kind of routes can I electrify with? What kind of electric bus technology? What kind of battery size? So that's definitely something wise to do. Have a solid plan. And if you're challenging with it, there are so many companies out there who are offering help with putting a good plan together. And that's a really helpful service, definitely. Yeah.
So this is planning ahead is one mm-hmm. step. The other thing is, we're moving from analog diesel buses to very high complex software-driven e-buses. And this, I think, is also a challenge for a lot of companies, because it means that you have to do or have to maintain a lot of software.
Yeah, definitely. So I was really, when I started 6 years ago, and I was like, okay, I was a total rookie. I thought, like, from my bus early days, like, okay, it's a bus, it's a vehicle, it's driving. But I was so impressed about how much technology is really in a bus. Like, it's board computers, cameras, counting systems. So it's really impressive. And all of these systems kind of change with electrification. So as I said in the beginning, I mean, what we did as Init when I started, like in the first year, everyone from the different product departments came together, from the planning, from dispatching, from fleet monitoring, ITCS, from the statistical tools. We were all coming together and we were checking how we can improve our existing products to benefit electric vehicle operations. I mean, We put down roadmaps for our products. But now, I mean, the most important or the most valuable input we get for our products is customer feedback. Because, I mean, they see total different challenges that we saw maybe 5 years ago. And next year and next year and next year, we're going to see different challenges. So, I mean, I like the relationship we have with our customers is more like a partnership, because we're working towards making a successful electrification transition of their bus fleet. And that's definitely something, it's like ping pong. It's like they're giving us something, we're giving us something, and that's like how you put together a good system.
And it's also because like every public service provider has different needs. I mean, no one has the same route or the same topography, like you have elevation, some cities, some don't. Yep. Climate is a concern, of course, also. Yep. How does your company help with all these questions that companies have in mind?
Yeah, I mean, that's totally correct. I mean, everyone has different circumstances. A smaller, mid-sized, large-size operational authorities and operators. But as I said in the beginning, having a solid plan helps. I mean, we defined this round I was talking about as a product owner round. So we defined the process. I mean, there's planning, there's dispatching, there's fleet monitoring, there's statistics. And we thought, okay, we need something before. We need some sort of tool to give our customers that they can test it out, simulate it, basically. So they know the architecture, they know the topology, and they're just giving something to play around with it a little. I mean, In this tool, you can insert different kind of charging scenarios, different kind of bus battery sizes, different kind of weather conditions. So you can predict it, okay, it's a sunny day somewhere and it's a very cold day. And then they can play around with the different scenarios to define basically for themselves what is the ideal scenario for me personally. So that's was really a good step, and it's widely used from some manufacturers as well. They consult with this tool, and it's a pretty much successor.
So it's two phases of knowledge, I would describe it. You have the knowledge, first of all, you have to change the way you work with the bus because it's an e-bus. That's one thing, but also a knowledge process for software. And we know that not some are advanced, but not all of public service, public transport providers are so much advanced in terms of software.
Yep.
How do you talk to them? Because they were like, this is a steep learning process for them, because suddenly they have to use this software.
Yep.
And it's a bit like, you coming from a typewriter going to a computer, and you have to change the way you think about writing. You have to change the way how you use the technology. And it's expensive also.
Yeah.
It's something, a cost factor that comes on top of that.
Yeah.
So how do you help your customers to deal with that?
Yeah, I mean, it's a nice analogy. We have a lot of different analogies in the Init group as well. I mean, I can honor here some colleagues of mine who compared it with going from a horse carriage to an electric bus or to a bus, for example. I mean, as I said in the beginning, it's a total change of heart.
How do you help your customers to deal with these steep learning curves? Like the learning curve with e-mobility or with the e-bus is one thing, the high voltage situation, et cetera, that's one thing, but the software is different.
Yep.
Because again, a lot of companies start from scratch.
Yeah. No, I mean, as learning, I mean, it's teaching and learning. And what we did in the beginning, my title is head of sales, but what I did in the beginning was more like teaching. Because, I mean, there were limited electric buses out there, the demands weren't there yet. So we did in the beginning, we were going to all the events out there from VDV, bus to bus, UITP, all the different kinds of events out there, and just giving presentations about teaching, okay, you need, for example, a charge management system when you start having a lot of more energy, you need to control it. So we were definitely like teaching more than actively selling, and is exactly what most of the industry needed. Because I mean, you can imagine everyone has a lot of their plate itself by running the buses, ensuring operation and service, and then this portion comes on top. So definitely we're happy about presentations and working groups to help together. And for me, it's always interesting because in Europe, we're quite ahead now. So we have like bigger electric bus sizes right now already. But in North America, I mean, they're starting right now. So they already had test fleets. Now they're getting the first batches into the operation. And it's really funny because, I mean, the challenges are comparable. And we're benefiting now from giving them a lot of experience from Europe. And this experience exchange is just massively important. So as an operator, if you have the chance talking to somebody who already have a lot of electric buses integrated, just exchange experiences, that's a key item you should do right now.
That is an interesting question, maybe, because you're working in Germany, you're working in Europe, you're working, as you said, Australia, you're covering NA, and where do you think, or which part of the world is most advanced when it comes to using e-mobility, e-buses, e-mobility, and the software that is connected to it?
I wouldn't say advanced. I mean, in terms of fleet sizes, I mean, it's definitely Europe, I would say. I mean, closely followed, I went Southern America. They have a lot of huge fleets right now. I mean, speaking of Bogota in Colombia, or also Santiago de Chile, they just introduced like 500 vehicles within a couple of months or a year or two. So really like a massive transition. But I mean, I was speaking of size, I would definitely think, speaking of size and knowledge, it's definitely Europe right now, but the other markets are just following right now. So we did a lot of business analysis in Australia as well. And they also have fleet sizes in the big cities of around 8,000 buses or more. And they have huge electrification plans, like 100% by 2040, for example. So they're all going into the same direction, and which benefits us as a company because we have this nice product for it. But it's also like a nice tool to work on relationships with customers, industry partners, because everyone has the same goal, like electrifying the bus operation. And that's a really nice scenario to have.
In your experience, are the problems that public transport providers, when they change to e-buses, on the scale of the world, are they the same, like in Germany or in France, or are they different?
I mean, they have different circumstances, of course, but I mean, the core challenges, I would say, remain the same. Not 100% same, but similar, I would say. I mean, it's about range, it's about energy, costs, energy availability, how to control charging processes, for example, how to put a plan together. Do I need more vehicles than I needed before with diesel operations? So the challenges are pretty much the same, yeah.
You talked about charging. As part of it, and we know that we have a very good charging infrastructure, not a very good, but we have a good charging infrastructure in Germany for cars. But how is it for buses?
Yeah, I mean, driving an EV myself, it's super comfortable driving around, charging infrastructures everywhere. I type in my destination and then I just get a nice plan together at which charge I am with which kind of percentage. So that's pretty comfortable for cars. With buses, I think the main challenge for charging infrastructure is the availability. I mean, considering the shortage of raw materials, I mean, there's still high delivery times out there for the chargers itself, but mostly for the electrical infrastructure as well. Talking about substations, for example, they have huge delivery times still, and these substations are needed to transfer the energy to get all these buses charged. And that's definitely one of the biggest challenge right now in terms of delivering of hardware. And then another challenge is just managing this new hardware you're getting. So you're basically getting a new fuel system. Fueling takes longer now, or charging takes longer than fueling in the old days. So there are definitely a lot of challenges in terms of getting energy into the buses.
And another thing that is interestingly also a point for especially larger fleets, peak loads. Exactly. Like, so when you reach the peak load in the energy system, and because energy is more expensive, yep, at those times, so how do you deal with that?
Yeah, I mean, it's a peak shaving is the big buzzword behind it. I mean, we always put it down in a pretty simple way. It's uncontrolled versus controlled charging. I mean, driving an EV, I mean, my electric car, when I plug it in, it gets as much energy as possible in the shortest time frame to give me a fully charged battery. And imagine having this like with 50 vehicles, or I mean, even starting with 5 or 20 vehicles, or then 50, 100. I mean, you have such a high demand of energy at one time. And this is very costly because the energy supplier, they have to ensure to give you this energy. And that's where they have the cost factor. So it's some energy tariffs. So once you hit a certain peak, you pay this peak for the rest of the year. So obviously the goal is to have this peak as low as possible. And that's basically what one of our software parts, the charge management software, is doing in combination with the other software. It's also a big point, interoperability. So together with our dispatching and yard management, depot management system here in Europe, we enable to charge the buses according to their schedule. So as I said, instead of charging all the energy in the shortest time frame, so by knowing, our system knows the entire standing time of the buses, and we're basically charging the buses over the entire standing time as slow as possible according to the energy tariffs, to ensure that the buses are still operative, charged with the right amount of energy, preheated or pre-cooled for the next service. And we just all do this by integrating other systems to make it more intelligent, and that's really a key factor. And it's depending on how much money you're paying on the peaks and on and off peak hours, it's a huge cost saving factors. There are tons of good ROI examples out there, so it can really help a lot. Yeah,
so you're offering also like a complete tool of softwares. Like it's a management tool, or like it's like a platform of software that you offer, and then the client can choose between different elements of the software, or is it like that it has to buy the whole suite?
I mean, of course, ideally for Init, I mean, all clients, they have all products from Init, of course, because we have, as I said, we have a line product strategy. We were really playing through the process steps and optimizing our solutions based on that. I mean, but of course, we're also aware of the realities. So therefore, of course, I mean, we have a product suite where everything is working together with interfaces, with standard interfaces like VDV 463, for example, for connecting a depot management system with a charge management system. But of course, we're also able to put a couple of puzzle pieces out of the puzzle then at another piece because the customer just has this piece, different manufacturer, for example, different software vendor. So it's also, it's vendor agnostic, but you can also like take the couple of pieces out there whenever it suits the customers.
So you can go to a customer and offer him like a tailored offer or tailored software for him.
Yeah. I mean, it's the software itself is standard. It's a standard software, but we, with integrations, we can tailor made it for the customers. Because as I said, I mean, some customers to have a planning system from somebody else or a charge management system from somebody else. And we can integrate these different kind of vendors also in our system to have it as simple and as cost efficient for the customers.
Service and maintenance, that's a next topic. In your experience, do e-buses need less or more service compared to a diesel?
I mean, speaking of my experience with my car, so I got it and I've never been to any inspection for now. And I have to give it back like in a couple of months. I used it for 3 years. So, and what I got from the customers is that the maintenance, I mean, once you have trained your stuff for high voltage systems, so the maintenance is easier of electric vehicles than for diesel buses. I mean, you have less components. I mean, there are numbers out there that with a combustion engine, you have like 2,000 pieces, and with the electric one, you have like 200, for example. So it's definitely easier, I would say.
That also means, but it doesn't mean that you don't have any maintenance.
No,
you need some maintenance.
Yeah.
And does your software provide like this predictive maintenance where you see that you need to replace a part at a certain time?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, looking into the vehicle data is a key point. I mean, I'm really happy and positively surprised how this changed. I mean, when I was started, I mean, we as Init, we have a tool to read the vehicle data, visualize it, do analysis out of it. And it was like hard to sell because everyone's like, yeah, vehicle data, do I really need it? Do I need to ask for it? And now we really have like a point in time where everyone is aware that vehicle data is needed. It eases the handling of the buses exactly for tools which do predictive maintenance application like ours. So, but still vehicle data is key. Openness of manufacturers to give the data out to the customers is key. We are personally working on that in VDV working groups as well on getting this openness. So, at the end, it all comes down that we give the customer a good approach to have a successful project, yeah.
In one instance, you may have a technical issue. It can happen. So you have a technical issue with your car. So is it possible for me as a fleet owner that you have, that comes someone, or is it also possible by like this maintenance by upload, download, OTA maintenance, for example.
What's really nice about working with Init together is that we have so many locations worldwide. I mean, there's one slide in our slide deck, which is just like a map and shows all the different locations. So whenever support is needed, we are just around the corner. And that's definitely a key point. So every time I was talking to somebody, I got the question, okay, are you around or are you just flying in from Germany every now and then? Or definitely a local presence is key. And this is what Init is providing, being a worldwide active software manufacturer. Sorry.
Another interesting point, we haven't talked about it at all at the moment, is also we talked about the expenses that you have through the change to electric mobility, and of course it will cost you and the company some money. But you also have the chance to earn some. Can you explain that?
Yeah, I mean, basically, if you think about it, you have huge battery storages driving around, right? So in some cases, I mean, in a passenger car in average, sometimes standing like 23 hours a day, just standing there, right? So you have like battery storage to play with, the energy levels just available around the corner. So I mean, a really famous innovation is vehicle to grid, V2G. It's really funny that it's coming up now as the new innovation. I mean, we kind of did this in 28, so we wrote software for it, and now it's coming to be popular. And it's especially coming out of these reasons, because everyone is realizing, so wait a second, I have like so much battery storage in there, so why don't charge all the buses or all the batteries fully up when the energy is cheap and sell it back to others when needed in a high price time? So there are, it's just one of many use cases which will come in the future. I mean, of course, as I said, all the manufacturers need to play with it. So the vehicles need to be able for it. The software needs to be able for it. But there are so many use cases, I believe, which we haven't thought about yet. So, and V2G is just one of them in the beginning.
So V2G is something to come. V2G also, and the whole business of your company means that you have to have a deep knowledge of software.
Yeah.
Not only your software that you've written, but also the other software that are out there. How about recruiting? I imagine it's not easy to get the experts or the right experts for the job.
I mean, on your first statement you meant, I mean, our innovative aspect of software is coming off an intrinsic innovative mindset we have within the Init Group, but it also comes from our customers. So as I said in the beginning, we had our own roadmap in mind with what we thought could be beneficial, but then talking to customers, so some of our roadmaps are full of customer feedback, what we just gained by talking to them too. So our ultimate goal is to adjust our software to have the best beneficial for electrification. And this is something we are achieving by our mindset, but also a huge portion of it is talking to customers and just getting their feedback, because they are the real experts in operation. I mean, we learn about it. Some of our employees also have been at operators and authorities, so they're pretty well knowledge. But I mean, the challenges, the operators have the challenges and the authorities. So it's something we are getting on our roadmap. And I mean, in terms of HR and getting new people, it's a challenge, of course. I mean, having personal relationships helps, of course, because then you know, okay, you can trust them or not. But what I really like is that really like younger people, because they were doing their master thesis in some city about electrifying the public transport there, and now they're in like management positions, for example. So it's really kind of this entire new technology, battery electric bus, is also changing the landscape within the operators, and I really enjoy that, having open-minded people working there. And I mean, these are also interesting for us, considering a new hire. Yeah, it's just fun times to work in the industry right now.
Yeah, I think so. And as I can see here at the InnoTrans, a lot of people think the same. Yeah. My feeling is like that the whole industry, the bus industry, the transport industry, the logistic industry is going through a huge process of transformation. And that a lot of new things are coming onto the market. Also, a lot of new ways of thinking about how to solve an existing problem. We use diesel trucks for the long while, but now we see we have to change to a different direction, and we are still not sure in some cases whether electric is the right choice. Do we go for hydrogen when we have long haul stuff or transport? So there's a lot of things going on. The market is relatively in move, but also a little bit volatile. So how do you make sure, as a salesperson also, how do you make sure that you always stay on top of all those topics?
Yeah.
And also, of course, making the sales you need for the company.
I mean, it's not just that we're teaching others or that we're teaching our customers. It's always like a continuous self-teaching. I mean, we're also going to a lot of conferences just to get up to speed with the new challenges, what's out there. I mean, in the media, you basically hear every month or every week about a new battery technology, which is out there, which is tested right now, which is just around the corner to get you like, I don't know, 1,000 miles or kilometers with a charge. So, and that's just like what you're getting and what's worked on in the background. So what I believe is that there's a lot of R&D been done right now in the industry to optimize it, and we as experts or we as salespeople, we need to stay with the tune, right? So we really need to stay active, listening more than talking. It's always hard for salespeople to do that, but definitely like listening is a huge point to get you experienced. And then also, I mean, for me, I'm also doing a lot of partnerships right now, and for me it's just learning from these different partners. So we're working a lot together with charging infrastructure manufacturers, vehicle manufacturers, battery analysis companies, and they all bring a new component to the table, to my little pool of knowledge. And I just am grabbing the information there, kind of get it into my system, how I can use it, or how I understand it, and that's just interesting. So they're really a lot of intelligent, smart people around you in this industry, and for you it's just like listen, get information. That's really key.
Information is always the key, especially when we're talking about a new field of technology that we don't know where it's, we know where it's leading us, but we don't know how to actually incorporate it into our existing systems. So there's a lot of trial and error at the moment that's going on, and I don't think that's something bad. I think that's something good, because first of all, you make mistakes sooner or later in your business life, so that's going to happen anyway. Second is you learn from your mistakes and you know what's working, what's not working. Yep. And it also brings out innovation, because as you said, you have customers that come with problems that you haven't thought about, that you never thought about it. And then they say, hey, but that's my problem. And then you have to find the solution. Yep. So you have to still be very agile as a company, and 100%. You have to still listen a lot to what's happening on the market, because it's hard to find a solution. There is no one-fits-all solution.
Yeah. No, definitely. I mean, it's, as I said, listening is key, and also have a solid try and error mentality into the market, because as I said, it's not just new for our customers or our partners, also new for us in some sort of sense. I mean, we have like this advantage because we started a long time earlier before it, but it's keeping up the distance from others in our industry, which is key. And therefore you have to try something. And if it's failing, you think about it, you put it back on the basis, and then you do something else to work on it. And that's what's the nice engineering mindset we have as a group still there. I mean, everything started with engineers in our company, software engineers, software developers, and then the administrative salespeople, marketing came on top, but it really started with engineering, putting together an innovative system. I mean, it's in the init name, it's all about innovation, right? And this is really what we're living up to right now. Trial and error, ask smart people about their opinion, get a group together and figure it out. That's really what we're still doing, and it benefits our approach in the industry.
There is no doubt that the market, the e-mobility market, especially in transport, has only one trend at the moment, that's upwards, because companies, public service provider, public transport providers have to change to electric buses. So that's good news for you.
Yeah.
but where do you see the whole business in, let's say, 6 years from now on, when we meet next time at the InnoTrend?
Yeah, so what I see is definitely a lot of new challenges out there, because the fleet sizes, they're rising. And with rising fleet sizes, there are coming new challenges. I mean, I was like briefly tackling it, like that fueling is shorter than getting energy into buses, for example. So on the depot level, there are a lot of changes to do. So you have longer service times. You cannot just park the buses somewhere and just say, okay, I just park it over the weekend, I get it, and it's fully in operation, for example. So there are a lot of new changes there around the corner, which we basically don't know yet about. So what I think in 5 years, we'll stay there, talking maybe about one or two new product solutions we have right now in our product basket, as in it. and hopefully about a lot of happy clients from our side, which we can benefit from their experience using our products, solving the electrification, electrifying public transportation. So that's really like my wish and what I see in 5 to 6 years. Yeah.
That was Maximilian Haag from Car Media Lab in it. Thank you so much. Thank you on all our listeners, and hope to hear you for the next time.
Perfect. Thank you for the time.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
A big thank you to our guest. This concludes another episode of the 6th season of Bus to Talk. We invite you to take a look at our website, www.bus2bus.berlin. There you will find all information about Bus to Bus, as well as all our podcasts and newsroom articles. You can also find more information in our show note. So, stay tuned and subscribe Bus to Talk. See you soon, and our tip, try bus. ¶¶